Welcome, all of you wine and true crime lovers. I'm Brandy.
And I'm Chris.
And this is Texas Wine and True Crime. Thank you for being here, friends, for our anniversary episode, The Cheerleading Plot to Kill. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Brandy.
It's our anniversary of the show.
I know. We're at a special place today, too.
Special place.
We are a special place.
In the I'm going to call it the Dallas podcast room, because, it's the only podcast room besides my own that I've been in Dallas.
I know, but this beautiful view of the skyline behind you right now as we're seeing.
Yes, and we have we have some friends in the room today.
We do have some friends.
Yeah, this is a live show. We're going to say live show because we have somebody else watching us besides each other.
If you have more than one person as audience, it's satisfies a live
show. It's live.
Show.
It's yeah. live. We have a couple of friends from the Dallas Morning News here. This is kind of exciting.
It is exciting.
It is.
There's no doubt about it.
They're watching us. I know. All right. Well, thank you for being here, friends. This episode, The Cheerleading Plot to Kill, our anniversary episode going out tonight. Thank you. I just want to give a big thanks before we jump into this case. Thanks to you, first and foremost, Chris, for just cooking really great food and kind of, you know, picking up the pieces when they fell apart halfway through our show. But
now they fell apart.
Well, part of it fell off the ship and you got on the ship and now the ship kept going.
Well, that's okay.
Thank you.
Sometimes. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you for having me on and
of course
putting up with me.
Of course. And big, big thanks to our listeners. Without you guys, we would not be, well, nobody would be listening, first of all. And if nobody's listening, then I would probably have run out of gas before 3 years.
Yeah, we'd be like street buskers, you know, like sitting out in the corner with a open guitar case, podcasting
well,
on the corner,
maybe.
Helping people for entertainment.
I never envisioned that, but thank you, everyone. It means so much to us for the support. So, yeah, what a way to kick off going into year four than with some friends here from the Dallas Morning News. But, Chris, it's time for us to jump into this case. So, are you ready?
I am ready.
All right, friends, it's time to sip some wine and talk some crime. Now, as always, we want to give you a few facts about where the crime takes place. So let's learn a little bit about Channelview, Texas. Chris, I'd never heard of Channelview.
I had never heard of Channelview until reading about this case.
Okay, let's go. Number one, Channelview is named because of its view from the Houston Ship Channel, which lights up like a Christmas tree. Have you ever seen that?
I have not. This is by Pasadena, right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
18.
Oil. Big oil country out there.
Yep.
I've never heard the Houston Ship Channel described as Christmas tree, though.
That's kind of how I envisioned it based on my research.
Yes.
Well, I said it lit up like a Christmas tree, not like Christmas. Number two, Channelview is located 18 minutes east of Houston. So it is a Houston suburb. 18 minutes? I mean, I mapped it. I'm like, how have I never heard of you before? Number three.
How far away is Pasadena from there then?
I would say what, maybe half hour, 45 minutes?
It must be.
Yeah.
It all comes back to Pasadena for me with Urban Cowboy. I don't know why.
Hey, good reference. Number three, Channelview is the home of the Lynchburg Ferry. Now, Chris, this was very interesting. I would say this is the most interesting of the three. The ferry was used by the Republic of Texas troops fighting Mexican forces in the Battle of San Jacinto in April of 1836. Chris, it's still there. So in what was later referred to as the runaway scrape, as many as 5,000 Texans fled eastward to escape the advancing army of Mexican General Mr. Santa Anna. Now, they used this ferry, and in the following days, Sam Houston's army defeated Santa Anna at the San Jacinto, which resulted in the Texas independence. So this ferry is still there. It still runs. It brings people, cars, whatever. But it is the oldest running ferry in Texas.
Well, where's it ferry to?
It ferries from Pasadena area. I just told you. It goes from Pasadena. Didn't I tell you that? No, I did not tell you that. It goes,
that's
I think, from the Pasadena.
You left that
I do not
out.
Know. I do not know the map of the Lynchburg
ferry.
I mean,
ferry. Where are we going that in this day and age we need to take a ferry?
I don't know. I just got back from Port Aransas, and they have a ferry, and some people that came on the trip
and
ended up on it.
They have a road that you don't have to use the ferry, should you choose.
Yeah,
ferries
exactly.
are slow. It's the only reason I'm saying so.
Well, anyways.
I guess some places still use ferries.
They do. They do. Well, this is the oldest one running in Texas. In 1991, Wanda Holloway's daughter, Shanna, narrowly missed out on a spot on her junior high cheerleading squad. Wanda was determined to get her daughter on a spot on the squad, either junior high or high school. So determined, she decided to hire a hitman to murder the mother of another cheerleader that made the squad instead of her daughter. The plan quickly unraveled when the hitman decided to tell the police about the plot to kill. What happened in Channel View, Texas?
Yeah, I just got to say, only in Texas.
Well, cheerleading is very important here.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I mean.
That's why you see my excitement on her face when you want our daughter to get involved with it. Yeah.
Just well, love watching some good. She doesn't know any better yet.
I just watch those moms on Dance Moms, and I'm surprised nobody's pulled a hit on one another on that stinking thing. So, but yeah, it does not shock me that something like this would take place in Texas. It's just
Well,
it screams Texan.
Well, Channel View is only has a population of 43,000 people. So 20 years ago, I'm sure that population was probably smaller. So if you didn't know everyone that lived in the town and the city, you probably at least knew your neighbors, right? The kids and the families who went to school with your children.
Sounds like you might have known the hitman.
Oh, yeah. We'll get into that. Well, and you know what? One of the police officers in this case said, well, you don't go to Home Depot to find a hitman. You go someone in your neighborhood, right? This is a town of only a certain amount of people. You're not going to just go hire a stranger to do something like this. So Wanda Holloway, mother of Shanna. So I'm going to talk about the characters in this case. Verna Heath is the mother of Amber. So we have two girls and two mothers. Verna Heath and then Amber. Mother, daughter, Wanda Holloway, and Shanna, mother, daughter. Now, both girls had tried out for the cheer squad at the junior high school. So this starts in seventh grade. I want to premise this because this isn't something that just happened once and then this was over.
They knew one another. They were playdate friends and things like that, right?
They were playdate friends. They went to elementary school together. Verna Heath came from a family of performers in the arts. Okay. She was a twirling champion in her school, and her mother was also a twirling champion, and she actually owned a twirling studio. Who even knew that existed? In Texas.
This girl's mother reminds me of Ruka Salt's mother in
sort of
Charlie and Chocolate Factory.
This woman is a little, the other one, Wanda Holloway is more her. So we'll talk about her in a second. So it wouldn't be a surprise that her daughter Amber would also end up in cheer and twirling just like her mother. So Amber was exposed to gymnastics, cheerleading, twirling, all of those at a very, very young age. Okay. So we have Amber and Verna. Now, she would always go with her mother to her grandmother's twirling studio. But her focus ended up being on cheer, at least when we're going into junior high school years. Okay. Wanda Holloway, this is the other woman involved in this case. She is a very assertive woman, sharp, a very sharp dresser, actually. People would later say she would do anything for her daughter, but not only that, so would Verna. Both of these women knew each other. They lived in the same neighborhood within like a few houses, Chris, okay? And their kids were elementary friends, but, you know, They slept over at each other's houses. But these women weren't close. Okay, I do want to point that out. These women weren't close. They were just more of acquaintances. And they're also, their kids weren't, these girls weren't super close either. But they liked each other.
They hung out.
They knew each other. They hung out. But I would not say these two families were best friends. Even though they knew each other growing up, you know. People change, kids change, they sort of find their own friends. So, you know, when they were little, they were probably a little bit closer. All right. So by the seventh grade, Amber was named friendliest and most spirited. And she was also an honor student. Excuse me. So was Shanna. They were both popular, both talented. Now, she was the vice president of the eighth grade class when Amber was president. Now, there wasn't like, oh, she was president and now I'm vice president. They both literally went for president or vice president. So they weren't ever at odds with one another. I never got this in my research and got this vibe. they just kind of did their own thing. And then the two women living in the same neighborhood, both of their daughters attending, by the way, at this point, Channelview Christian School. So junior high starts in seventh grade. Both of these women are now going to move their daughters to a different school. Okay. And this is when first trouble begins. And this is in 1989. All right. So now we're in junior high. So when Shanna was scheduled to try out for the seventh grade cheerleader at cheerleading squad at Channelview's public junior high school, like I mentioned, now she had taken Shanna out of Channelview Christian. So this might get a little confusing. We have one of the girls that has now come out of the school and into the new junior high school. We have the other mother who has not yet pulled her daughter out of the Christian school, but is going to and is going to enroll her in this junior high school. Okay.
Was the twirling and cheerleading just stellar at this school? Was it the point of them trying out?
For the, yes. Yes.
Like
for the new school.
Better twirlers.
No, forget the twirling. These girls are cheerleaders,
right?
Sorry,
I'm going to be stuck on this.
I was kind of fascinated with the twirling.
I want to open a twirling school.
I know.
Twirling studio, not just a school, a studio. So
Verna's going to register her daughter for this junior high school.
That's what I mean. That's why I was wondering when I was reading this. That is because the program, the cheerleading program must be better.
Well, and you're
more exposure.
Smaller. Okay, so you're probably going to have a lot of competition going into junior high school.
No, though. I would think the Christian school had a small, like your
chances.
No.
They're leaving the Christian school. They're going into a public
junior high
school.
No, I'm just saying that must be why they wanted to make the transition from a private school to a public school. Because
better.
The program, more exposure.
More exposure.
More scholarship opportunities.
Yeah, these girls both love cheerleading. Yeah. I mean, they were in gymnastics together growing up as well. So Verna had not yet moved Amber out of the Christian school, but she went to the principal, okay, of the new junior high school and asked for permission for Amber to try out, right? Because they were going to register for school and be there that following year. So this really, really made Wanda not happy about this. Okay. And so
that's a little shady though. I don't think you should be able to do that. That'd be like,
this is 1989 Texas cheerleading.
I
know,
but like, I don't even know they would do that for football players. I mean, to me, your kid would have to be going to school there in order to allow them to participate in any form or fashion or even try.
So I'm not going to cover this part in this case, what I'm about to say to you, but Wanda's husband at the time this is important because I want you to understand.
Yes.
No, I want you to understand how important cheerleading was at this time in this city where this is going on. The president of the bank, which is then Wanda's husband, actually was able to change the rules within the school about trying out for cheerleading, and you had to be a student for at least 1 year in order to try out. For cheerleading only.
No, I think you just had to be enrolled.
So he literally was changing
rules. No, I think he changed it where you actually had to be enrolled. Her daughter.
No, for at least 1 year. For at least 1 year.
Yeah, but I mean, Wanda's daughter wasn't.
No, but when she was going to be enrolled, she would have only been there a couple of months.
Yeah, because this rule would have affected her, essentially.
Yeah.
So,
they didn't do this right then. I mean, this came later on.
It's kind of shady they would allow him to do that, but
well, they did.
Who am I here
to
argue about cheerleading, the trials and tribulations?
Yeah, you're okay. So Wanda complained about this to the school board. So she was really annoyed, and she was saying, "Don't vote in she called her the outsider." I mean, she kind of knew these people though, right? And that's what she called the daughter, was the outsider. And so they only had two slots open, okay? Because I guess some of the other cheerleaders who were already there before were going to be taking their spots. I don't really know how this worked. But what I'm going to say is that one of them got it and one of them didn't. And that was Amber. She was picked for the cheerleading team. And this was very, very upsetting to Wanda. She just couldn't believe everything she had done to try to get her daughter on this squad. This girl isn't even going to school there yet and gets special permission. And she believed that if Amber would not have been able to try out, then her daughter would have been on the squad. And that's what really, really upset her, was the fact that if she wouldn't have tried out,
I can understand her being upset though.
All right, so that's number one. This is because this is seventh grade
I feel like
year.
That she got.
We're now going to go into
she
eighth
got rooked.
Grade. All right, the next year, Wanda worked even harder to get Shanna on that cheerleading squad. So months before tryouts, right? Months before, she calls her ex-husband and she says, listen, we need to be creative. We need to do something special to get people's attention to, you know, to vote for Shanna, you know, for cheerleader, right? So this was like a voting system. I'm still not understanding this because when I was a cheerleader, that's not how it worked. So,
we voted in my high school, but the
no,
students,
we didn't vote.
The students, I mean, yeah, there's no doubt.
So it's like if you're running for student council, it's like you're running for anything. You're going to put yourself out there, make flyers.
Yeah, but they did it more or less like people's applause. Like that's how the mascot, because I remember they had a bunch of weak people get out there and couldn't, you know, then you had the one person who got there and knew all the moves and, you know, dancing to Run DMC and stuff like that. It's a long time
getting
ago.
Getting the crowd amped up.
But yeah, but it was just based on crowd noise. Not very diplomatic, right?
Yeah, no, this is more
there were lots of hearts broken at our cheerleading.
They're like,
our cheerleading days.
Was that
too.
One louder or was that one louder?
But I don't ever recall. Well, you know what, though? Who knows? Mothers could have been involved. I mean.
Okay, so this is going to be known as the ruler incident. Okay, ruler incident. All right, so they were saying they're going to get like some rulers and they're going to put her name on them and some pencils and then they're going to do this big campaign and they were just so excited. But then they find out that they can't do this. And the principal, the person who is head of the cheerleading association, team there, the vice principal, they ended up confiscating this stuff. Okay. They put a lot of money into this.
Rulers.
So it said that the handouts did not comply with the school election code rules.
I would think,
is what that,
I would think
is what
giving,
the reason
giving
was.
A bunch of kids rulers and pencils would ensure you not getting voted in. Like, what the hell am I going to do with this? I understood it was very difficult to obtain a pencil.
Honestly, the ex-husband said he also thought it was a good idea because people couldn't afford all of those things. Like he said, some people struggled to get rulers and pencils, and he thought it was kind of a clever idea. You know, they're students. They need pencils and rulers. But it did not go well. So
I call bullshit on that.
Well, that's what he said. I mean, I don't know.
I'm just saying. That is kind of that's an interesting thing to give, like, school kids. I don't know. Pencils and rulers.
Pencils and rulers. So, because of this, they actually end up, so she kind of like throws this mild fit about this and she's asking, you know, why and this. So it becomes a big deal and they actually bring in some sort of committee that they have formed within the parents of some of those cheerleaders. Okay. And so what happens is they have to vote because of the, first of all, the ex-husband said she would have known this rule. That's what made this committee so mad and why I think they made this decision is because they said she blankly just went against the rules and did it anyway. So her ex-husband said she would have known that we should not have done this. So because of this and because of what she probably should have already known, they actually disqualify her daughter for trying out for eighth grade cheerleading. So seventh grade, the other girl wins. And by the way, Verna, she's actually on this committee. And then eighth grade, she's done. She's there. She's disqualified.
Did they have to give the pencils and rulers back?
Yeah, they took them. Yeah, they took everything.
Who took them?
The school did. Yeah, they were not happy. This was actually kind of a big deal.
So since they were so difficult to obtain and people couldn't afford them, they just didn't want to let the people keep the pencils and rulers?
I guess. I don't know. I'm done talking about the pencils and rollers. All right.
It's like the weakest handout to give.
Well,
somebody.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know. Weapons? I don't know. This is 1989.
Yeah, I can think of 1989, all kinds of things kids would have wanted and said, oh, yeah, we're going to vote for that. So, I can clearly see why you wouldn't allow someone to give out gifts. I mean, that'd be the same thing as a, you know, a
Yeah, I didn't like dive. I didn't have like the actual school rule, but that was basically what the school said was it didn't follow the rules.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Okay. So now this is seventh grade, eighth grade.
So 2 years now, striking out.
Now we're going into, we're not in high school yet, but high school's approaching, and she wants to make sure that her daughter has a spot on that cheerleading squad at Channel View High School. And the only way she thought she would be able to do that was to take out Verna Heath and her daughter, Amber. And now it's wine time. It's wine. It's wine time. Now it's time for a wine recess. Tonight, for our anniversary episode, we are having Cultivated by Farmhouse Vineyards out of Brownfield, Texas. This dry red, this Dolcetto crop from the Crick House block elected to cultivate, which they named the wine. This came from our friends, Chris, at txwine.com. That is the Texas Wine Club. We received this and other wines. So thank you, thank you, thank you, Farmhouse Vineyards. This was absolutely delicious.
It was spooktacular.
It was spooktacular. We were so happy to have this on our anniversary episode. So please check out Texas Wine Club. Check out our friends at Farmhouse Vineyards and tell them your friends at Texas Wine and True Crime sent you. Okay, so cheerleader tryouts for Channel View High School were not scheduled, Chris, until March of 1991. Okay, so we're now in like November-ish 1990, okay? So stay with me on this timeline. We got about 4 months until tryouts in high school. All right, but Wanda had begun to sort of think about how she's going to ensure that her daughter gets on this squad. So what she did is she actually took some sort of clerical volunteer job at the high school, and she started asking the people who work there, the administration, anybody she could on how to better her daughter's chances of making the cheerleading squad. Okay, who do I need to know? Who do I need to cozy up to? So she's asking people these questions. She wanted to know if she also supposedly asked someone if there was any specific way that, that she could get Amber disqualified. So now she's actually like saying her name and having these conversations with people. And whatever her mindset was and whatever answers she got,
Why just her though? Why is she, I wondered in reading this is why she was her main competition. Was Amber just that good?
She was very good.
Like what about the other people that are trying out for this cheerleading
squad? Well, you
have
to remember, the two girls came from the same Christian school. We're going to be trying out for the same.
No, but I'm saying at this point,
it's just personal.
We're in high school. They've already been seventh grade, eighth grade. They've made friends. They've intermingled with the crowds. It just seems kind of odd.
Yeah, but Wanda is defeated. I mean, you have to understand her thought process.
Well, I know, but
she's going to think about this every single day when she sees Verna. And every single day when she sees
Verna's
daughter.
It struck me as odd that she's singling her out, though, even for the disqualification. That's totally her bad. She screwed up. It wasn't because of her daughter and why she thinks that. I mean, because clearly, I don't know how many spots there are on the cheerleading squad. However, there's, we'll say 12.
Sure.
There's 11 spots that her daughter, is not going to be trying out for. Why are one of these other girls not the competition?
Well, and after eighth grade, her daughter basically told her dad, like, I'm not even really into it anymore.
Yeah, who can blame her?
Like, I know. I mean, she probably just was like, you know what? I don't want to be a cheerleader, but that doesn't matter to Wanda. Okay, so she decides that she is going to approach her ex-brother-in-law. Okay, so this is his name is Terry, and it is the brother of her ex-husband, okay, the father of her daughter, okay? So she approaches him. He does have a bit of a criminal record, but nothing like this. So she pulls up to his house, and he comes outside, and she's coming over. Now, she asked him if he would get in the car so they could drive away and talk. So he thought that was a little strange. So they drive away and they're talking. And the first question, and by the way, this is his words now that that this case blew up and open, and we'll talk about that. But this is him telling his story about how that conversation went. And basically she says, how much do you love your niece? So that's the first question she asks him. And he tells her, well, I love them. Like, yeah, they're my family. I love them. And so she said that she was really happy to hear that. And she wanted to know if he would be willing to take care of two people that have hurt her daughter. And he said, and not only that, it's a mother and then her 13, you know, I think at the time she was about to be 14 years old, you know, child.
Well, they're going to high school. They would have had to have been older.
14.
Right? Turning 15, maybe?
14, 15 freshman year, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I guess so.
I think so.
I don't know. It's been a long time since I was freshman high school. But he can't believe she's kind of asking him this, but he doesn't like, he basically says, I would never do something like this. And I don't know anyone that would do something like this. You're talking about not only killing one person, but you want me to kill her daughter? He said he'll just say he just wanted out of the car. And he said, I don't want to talk about this anymore. I don't want to do it. And he thought maybe she's not serious, right? So he doesn't hear from her for about 2 months, okay? Now we're in end of December. It's holiday time going into the new year. And she approaches him once again. And she says, I'm very serious about what I said and what I offered. So, you know, what do you think? And he was so appalled and taken back. He didn't even know what to do. So he told her he would think about it. And he immediately calls his brother, her ex-husband, to ask him and tells him, like, this is what she has just asked me to do.
Well, wisely so.
And she literally leaves and he goes straight to his brother. And isn't it funny how, and that's the weird thing. People never knew or understood why she necessarily went to him, except maybe he just had a few crimes in his background, but to go to family, I mean, I don't know. So people, but
well,
again, like
I,
the police officer
said.
I had read
he had a little bit more than just a few little things. I mean, he had some run-ins with the law. He was... Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Not the most savory character.
But it doesn't make you a killer.
No, but I understand, like, the, you know, suspicions that he could have probably used the money. And so, yeah, you know, doesn't make you a killer. I'm just saying, yeah. You know.
So he tells his brother.
You don't have anybody you could just run to maybe knock somebody off for you? You don't have, like, anybody in your back pocket?
Oh, yeah.
Somebody, you know, in the family.
I use fake names on the phone. All right. So, his brother is like, you have to go and tell the police. You have to go and tell the police. So he does. He goes to the police. He tells them. And this is a woman who is very petite. She dresses sharply. She is married to, like, he's like VP or president of the bank, their local bank. They don't believe him. Well, they're like, what are you even telling us? And how do we even know you're not making this up? This woman, this doesn't even make any sense. So he agrees to be wired, okay?
Well, you know
to
what?
Wire up.
You keep bringing up about her husband is mm-hmm. the president of a bank. That's what leaves me, that's what has me in such amazement about giving out rulers and pencils. Cash, man, cash. Pads and palms.
You are
know?
Still on the rulers and pencils.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying, like, all these, like, you think that her husband had influence.
No, I think she just what felt like she could break the rules and doesn't they don't
no,
apply
no,
to
I'm
her.
I'm just saying, like,
you know?
I mean, to me, I would have maybe gone that avenue. You know, usually
money.
Influence.
He can't give away the bank money. That's illegal. He'd be
no.
Fired.
He makes money. I'm saying your influence.
His own
you
money?
Know people in town. This is a small town. It's still a small town. So you would probably use some of your.
That's
influence.
Probably bribery, though. Don't you
don't
think? They
mean
would
with money. I'm saying influence. You influence people. You know, if they're able to get a law change.
Well, she did have some influence.
Not a law, just a rule in the school board. Then, you know, there's, I mean, come on, there's got to be other ways. This is, I don't know, this is what makes the story so crazy. Like, there's so many other avenues this could have gone, so.
Well, yes. And they do talk a lot about that after, like, the fact that her daughter was no longer interested in cheerleading.
Like, yeah, there's your sign.
As there's your sign,
right? Famous
comedian
actually said once.
Okay, so they want to hear him having conversations with Wanda to find out whether or not this is actually true. So over the next few weeks, they start to believe his story. The police become convinced that Wanda did intend to go through with the crime and that she had found the man to do it. So here is the money and the negotiation, and this is how it looked, right? So $2,500 that the police quoted, right, to assassinate Verna, coupled with the $5,000 quoted to take care of Amber. Okay, so the police tell him, this is how much you need to ask for. This is what you need to say to her. So he does. And she tells him, that is just too much money. So Wanda decides that she can only afford one murder and figures that killing Verna, the mom, would leave Amber way too distraught to even compete. She would just drop out. So on the day that she was to make the down payment, that was the day she was arrested. Now, here's what's interesting. Terry will say that she actually dropped Shanna off at church that day, and she was removing her diamond earrings as she said, quote, I couldn't pull the trigger myself, but I can sure do it this way. So she's arrested. Do you want to talk about the trial?
No, let's just leave that out.
What do you think? No. There wasn't just one trial. There was two trials.
I know.
Okay. You do?
I do.
All right.
I read.
First trial. Key evidence in the case for the prosecution. They came down to those tapes of the recordings, her having these conversations with Terry, revealing that Wanda Holloway was giving diamond earrings for the exchange as like a down payment or money, like, you know, you can keep my earrings right here. Hold these, basically to say that she was ready to move forward and hire Terry to go and take care of Verna Heath. OK, so the defense said that it was actually Tony, the ex-husband, and him basically just blaming Wanda.
The story.
Yeah, blaming Wanda and pinning it on her, and that made no sense. So she's actually convicted of solicitation of capital murder this trial was actually in 1991. So they moved very quickly with this prosecution. She was sentenced to 15 years in prison for this. However, they overturned that conviction when they realized one of the jurors was on probation for some drug felony charge, and he wasn't supposed to be on the jury. So they had to dismiss the first trial.
Does that get you out of being a juror?
Well, a mistrial. Well, it gives you a declared mistrial is what happened. What?
I'm just wondering how that person even gets a jury card.
I don't know, but we even hear about this today.
If that's the secret.
We hear about stuff.
I'll never have to come downtown again.
I mean, I don't know if it just... I'm not really sure. I don't know. I can't speak to that. But I do know even today they find things about jurors that either they knew someone that was related or affiliated. It does still happen.
I don't know. I didn't know if you were a felon. I didn't know it had to be any particular charge. I know like felons can't vote anymore. So that might keep you out of a jury.
I don't know. I don't know how they ran
so
names.
So if you're looking
how
to get out of being a juror.
Well, this is
commit a felony.
Really? Well, there's many other reasons not to do that. You don't get jury summonses that often. No offense to you.
I had two staff members on jury duty today that made me short. So I had to staff a room all day because that stinking jury duty.
It all goes back to Parkland. Second trial. Holloway hired a new defense lawyer. Okay. So this time, Wanda pleaded no contest. Now, she ends up taking a deal, and this negotiated deal was that she was sentenced to 10 years instead of the 15, and with a fine of $10,000. There was also a civil settlement for the Heath family. Holloway agreed to pay a total of $150,000 to the victims. $70,000 would go to Verna and her husband, $30,000 to the children, and $50,000 to cover the legal expenses of this case. Okay? 10 years.
How do they profit for that?
What do you mean?
I don't know, for the victims.
There's civil suits and murder trials and plots all the time.
I wasn't aware that you could.
You can't. You could. It could be anything.
If you plan on killing somebody and try to hire somebody, and they never went through with it.
No, this was part of her plea deal, though, and a part of that plea deal.
How does that person? Why are they? Why do they deserve money? Per se, I guess she didn't have to pay any money out of pocket for any legal defense. The Verna.
Well, she had a deal with a lot. I mean, there was so. Sally Jesse Raphael was a big deal back then, right? Her people, Oprah's people, they wanted to talk to these women. This was a huge,
she was getting
huge
paid
deal.
For being.
No, she did not want to be paid. She didn't want to be on these shows. She actually declined most interviews that were presented to her. This was probably more of just having to deal with it.
I guess.
Like,
I don't know.
That's what
I
would pay.
That a judge would award somebody like that. Like,
well,
if
you know, money speaks a lot when you have, you know, they're not dead, thankfully.
No,
they
I
did not.
I feel like,
you know,
that's.
And maybe they should be compensated for the hassle is the way courts see it. So it's
good
not the,
Lord.
You know, that's the way courts see a lot of things. So
if life is about being compensated for your hassles. Woo! Good Lord.
Well,
imagine my pockets
not would
be
your own hassle, though. Like someone else putting the hassle on you, right?
Half of my hassles are from other people. So. I mean, okay. You have to get down to it.
Chris,
it's just unusual. Since no harm was done,
it's not unusual at all. This is a very common thing to do.
You
to be constant
show
monitored.
Me some other cases that we get off the podcast. I want you
just
to
not
look
today,
this up. Yes.
But okay. All right. So, Chris, she only served 6 months in jail. The judge ordered her to serve the rest of her 9.5 years on probation and to complete 1,000 hours of community service. He basically said he doesn't think this woman, that she understands she made a mistake, that she doesn't have any prior convictions, that her life should not be ruined over this. And that she was sorry, and that she should have a chance at life. So he let her out.
I think they should have put them both in an MMA ring and put it on pay-per-view.
My question is, if this was a man, would they have got out?
Probably not.
Yeah, that's what bugs me about this case.
Yeah.
She went on to live a life. She's still out there. She's working and living under probably an anonymous name, I would imagine. But yeah, that's what kind of bugged me about this case. It's like, yeah, they're not dead. But she went to great lengths and great conversations. And I can think of 3 cases on the top of my head of plots and hitmen and hiring. And they're still in prison. So
sounds like,
you know,
she didn't really go to great lengths. She asked one dude who went to
the
cops.
I'm talking about the planning. She started planning. First of all, they believe she was planning this or at least thinking about it for 1 full year. Execution was about 5 to 6 months of conversations between.
He had that much tape?
No, it started in November when she approached. I would say end of October, November, because he doesn't see her again until Christmas time. And this is when she approaches him for the second time about this.
Yeah, I'm just saying that I don't think the conversations were lasting this whole time of this big plot. I think she mentioned it to him.
No, but three or four weeks were the recorded tapes because they used that to prosecute her. That's really the evidence they had was those tapes. Chris, her daughter actually came out about 11, 12 years ago. This is daughter of Wanda, and did the very first interview. She's never been interviewed or talked openly about this case. And she said it literally ruined her life. She has a family. She has a husband, and she lives life. But, I mean, the drama this brought, there are so many made-for-TV documentaries, shows about this case. There's, I mean, so many people put this out. Like I said, Oprah, Sally Jesse Raphael, their people were in Channel View, Texas, trying to get information about this case. It went big real fast, and we're talking about a very small area. And so, yeah, I'm sure, you know, I know that Verna's daughter tried out for cheerleading that March. I mean, as planned, but they said they had to have people standing at the door, that they weren't allowing strangers at all inside of the gymnasium. I mean, it was a really, they weren't smiling. They were never, I mean, this is probably why they gave them money. I mean, it probably destroyed their lives too and scared them. You know, so anyways, it's a very interesting case that a woman would take such great lengths to make sure her daughter was on a cheerleading squad. But again, does that go back to the fact that, you know, she wasn't as great at cheerleading and twirling as the other mother? And does this,
is this me living through my daughter, right?
And is it me living through my kid? And I don't want to cheerlead, Mom. Like, I don't hear that.
We,
you know,
see this all the time. What are you talking about? This is nothing new. We see this at sports games and stuff with our kids. And it is absolutely ridiculous. Everybody wants to have the next Tiger Woods, and they live vicariously through their children. And
I do.
It's a shame. People, let your kids do what they want to do.
That's right. All right. Well, that concludes this anniversary episode. Friends, until next time. Stay safe, have fun, and cheers to next time.
Cheers.